Hi there, and welcome back to Habits into Health. This is Michael Ann Conley. I'm a habit change coach, holistic therapist, and the host of this podcast show. Habits into Health is all about turning around habits that create problems for yourself and others. And that includes the habit of how you deal with someone else who has a problem habit. This show is for you no matter where you are in your process. Maybe you've just become aware that you have a habit that's a problem and you're not sure where to start or what course to take. It's possible that you've made some progress and you want some help for staying on track. It's also possible that you've tried other things and they haven't worked, or they worked for a while and it didn't stick. The show is also for you if you've made some really good progress on dealing with your habit and you want to just reinforce everything that you've learned and keep in that learning attitude to keep yourself fresh. And then this show is for you if you care about someone else whose habit is creating problems for you and for the other people in your lives. And that's because this show is not about which habit is creating the problem. It's really about addressing what all habits have in common. And that includes hidden habits, which are ways that we engage in repeating behavior that don't serve us. And they may not fit into an easy category at all. We have a holistic perspective here in Habits into Health, and I believe that helps you create a different future for yourself. In every episode, you'll have a chance to practice some new skills, and you'll also get reinforcement for new attitudes. Last time we talked about a tweak to the unhealthy habit of taking someone's inventory that can actually be a healthy strategy for learning about your habits. And that's when you and someone you trust give each other permission to take each other's inventory. But what if you don't have any of those kinds of trusting relationships? In this episode, we'll talk about how you can build a bridge between where you are now and building those kinds of trusting relationships. So let's set the tone first with our Habits into Health practice. And if this is your first time here, we invest a few minutes in an exercise that supports you in connecting with yourself. And if you've listened before, then you already know the benefits of how these exercises increase your awareness of the subtle patterns in yourself. And that's the beginning of taking charge of your changes. The more you give to this practice, the more it gives back to you. Because each of these practices is teaching you just a small taste of self-management, and that's a big part of changing any habit. We're in a little experiment here for the next few episodes, and that is something that I do actually in my weekly women's group. My group members have said that they really benefit from building on 1 week's practice over time. So I started in last episode doing a particular exercise, and the next few times I'm going to do a variation on the same exercise. And of course, I understand you may be listening to random posts, but if you want to try this experiment out of doing an exercise several weeks in a row to see what happens, you might want to then just listen to these next few weeks in sequence. So we start initially by being attentive to the process of thinking. And that's not so much thinking about what you're thinking, but just recognizing that there is a thinking process. The Buddhists call it monkey mind. The mind is always going, or at least the part of the mind that we call the executive director. So just be aware in this moment of the fact that you're thinking and observe the movement of how your thoughts shift, how they flow and change. We all relate to thoughts differently, so you may be someone who sees thoughts just like you're reading words. Or it's possible that you experience thoughts as pictures or images, or related to that as memories or associations. Associations are what the brain does, coming up with different memories from different times and bringing them together. And it's also possible that you might hear thoughts, just as if you were hearing your own voice even though you might not be speaking. So these are different ways of relating to thoughts. Now let's go to another way. Let your attention shift to where your thinking is happening. And initially, it may seem on the surface that your thinking is happening in your brain. But it also takes practice to really feel the sensations in your brain when you're thinking. So there's that. The other thing is it turns out that when we think, we're not just thinking in our brain. Our whole being is engaged in the process of thinking. Your thoughts also show up in different parts of you. Like, for instance, you could look around you right now and notice people's gestures, people making gestures with their hands or using their face in a particular kind of way. So you can also yourself start to deliberately notice, as you're thinking, what kind of sensations do you feel? And you can start by noticing around your eyes and above your eyes and your forehead, the top of your head. Just allow yourself to begin to build an awareness that when you're thinking, there is electrical activity happening up there in your head. But also, as you listen here to my voice and you notice yourself thinking, just begin to experience what's happening in your ears, what might be happening in your mouth, your lips and your jaw, with your tongue, and down into your throat. This would be particularly true if when you think, you hear yourself. Now, over time, what I know is that with practice, you can become very, very adept at recognizing the physiological experience of thinking. It's not something that we are typically oriented to consider, and yet it's an important part of habit change and any kind of behavior and attitude change. And you can start just by practicing very briefly for a few minutes when you notice you're just thinking, well, where do you actually experience yourself? Because when you do this, you're beginning to take charge of something that usually exists at a kind of invisible level. And this is where habits live as well. In most cases, habits start at a level that is invisible to the executive functioning of our brain. And the mistake that so many of us make is that we think that we can force change through willpower from the executive function of our brain, when in fact the habits that we're stuck in start way beneath the brain's capacity to notice until we begin to engage ourselves differently. And these are the kinds of practices that we do in Habits into Health. In this podcast, I can only give you a little bit of a taste because I'm talking into a microphone and you're hearing, but I'm not able to observe you. So a lot more rich things happen when we work in person and we can go deeper with it, but this is at least to give you a taste of that. And if you find this interesting or intriguing, you can come to habitsintohealth.com, that's my website, and learn some more. My name is Michael Ann Conley, and I'm the host of this show, and I sponsor all of the Habits into Health programs. I want to let you know that my new ebook is out. I'm really excited about it, and it's called Do You Have a Habit, or Does Your Habit Have You? 5 Warning Signs That You're Stuck, and What to Do About It. And if you'd like to get this ebook, it's free. Just go to habitsintohealth.com, and you'll notice over in the right sidebar, just under a banner that says, Does Your Habit Have You?, you'll see a box, and it's got the picture of the book, and you can fill in your name and email address, and I will send you your ebook. You can also explore the website. There are other podcasts on the podcast page, and I also have articles and an occasional blog. If you'd like to get notices when the podcasts are posted, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/habits.into.health. Now, what I'm doing here with this podcast, and also the ebook, by the way, introduces you to the Habits into Health perspective. It's a kinder, heart-centered way that combines insight with action to support change. And as I mentioned earlier, this just gives you a taste because you're listening in auditory mode. But if you are going to be in the San Francisco Bay Area, which is where I practice and do most of my teaching, I have some events coming up that I want to let you know about. On Tuesday, February 18th, we have this month's one-hour retreat for men and women who want to experience the Habits into Health practices in person. And on Saturday, February 22nd, I'll be talking about the inner game for habit change in Walnut Creek, California, at a very special Women's Empowerment Summit. If you want to know more, you can reach me by going to the contact page at habitsintohealth.com, and I'll make sure that you get information about both of these events. I will be doing some seminars in the spring. I have one coming up in May, plus some workshops that I haven't scheduled yet. So if you want to know about that, be sure to click that link on the contact page, and I'll make sure that you find out about it well in advance. Okay, let's talk about today's topic. We've been discussing a way to turn the unhealthy habit of taking inventory, where you're kind of evaluating and assessing somebody, into a healthy relationship habit of inviting inventory. And this is part of a bigger umbrella that I've been talking about around communications in relationships. And I call it keeping your side of the street clean. And we could even say keeping your side of the communication street clean. And I believe in this world, if everybody kept their side of the street clean, that aggression and violence in the world would just dissipate, that people would be more loving and feel more loved, and we'd create a world of peace that so many of us talk about all the time. So when you keep your side of the street clean, you're doing your part to create this kind of a world. Not only does it create peace and serenity in your own life, but it spreads beyond your own life. And you do this by taking the high road and staying in integrity, even if someone else is not being clean with you. So, some examples. It could mean having courage and walking away from a fight. And that's true whether it's physical or emotional, verbal. It could also mean that you don't instigate a fight by starting to yell at someone or calling them names, putting them down. When you refuse to participate in gossip or initiate gossip, then you're keeping your side of the street clean. And it also is true when you keep agreements that you made with the people that you live with or people you care about and the people you work with. And when you need to change those agreements, you wait until you've negotiated the change before you change your commitment. This is a tall order. And then on the unhealthy habit side, you don't take someone else's inventory. Taking somebody's inventory is on the unhealthy habit side. But you refrain from that. Unless, as we discussed last time, you have an open-hearted agreement with someone else that you can give each other feedback universally, or that you'll ask for permission to offer feedback, and that feedback will be accepted more often than not. Last time, we talked about how wonderful it is to have someone, one or two someones at least, in your life where you trust each other so much, and they trust you that it's okay for them to call you on your behavior and explore what they think might be going on with you. I've got a few friends in this category, and I got to tell you, it's very refreshing to know that someone has your back so much that you trust your heart to hear what they have to say when they have a concern. And I'd like for you to be this fortunate too. But I also know that this is a way of relating that often needs to be practiced and developed. So you may not have that kind of trust in your life right now. It might be more familiar for you to have other people in your life who tell you who you are and what you're thinking and why you're doing what you're doing, as if they knew you better than you do. And you know what? Even if it's true, even if you have been blind to yourself, who wants somebody else in their life telling them this stuff? You might be so used to this that you don't even know that it's a form of aggression for them to do this, and that it's not okay, especially if they do it with a smile, or they say, "I only meant to help." You might also be in a situation that's hard to get out of. Maybe it's not as bad as being physically grabbed, pushed, punched, or slapped, or touched in some way you don't want. But the verbal stuff is bad enough, isn't it? To have someone disrespect you this way. And sometimes change starts with just realizing that what's happening is no longer okay, even if you can't exactly leave your situation in the moment. If this is happening in your life, then I want you to know that unless your life is in danger and you have to move really quickly, slow change is more likely to create longer-term stable change. And this is true of all habits, not just this habit of tolerating the way someone else treats you. So, what if you don't have anybody where you have the kind of trusting relationship where they will protect your heart from hurt just like you would protect theirs? I don't know your life circumstances or even where you live in the world, but I can say that this is where reaching outside your personal circle can be really important. So it could mean investing some time in noticing who in your neighborhood seems to be a quality person. Look for someone who is kind to animals. This is no joke, because anyone who is kind to those who have the least power in today's world, which includes children, but even more so animals because they don't have language and can't speak on their own behalf, well, that person is more likely to be kind to you. And you're looking for somebody who's going to be kind and protect your heart. It might mean talking to a medical doctor or a nurse in your community. Or maybe there's a spiritual leader, someone you trust, a minister, a rabbi, a nun, a priest, someone like that in your town or your neighborhood. And if you're fortunate to live in a part of the world where the police actually serve to protect, then you might begin to notice if there's a police officer who you encounter who's kind to animals. Wherever you can, begin to look for one or two people who are more likely to treat your heart with safety, and begin as best as you can to reach out, maybe just initially by getting to know them a little bit. Exchange names, smile, say hello. Just starting there can make a very, very big difference in building a bridge to finding a relationship of trust. Now, what if your situation is a little different? Maybe you feel isolated emotionally, but you have a certain level of autonomy over your life, and you're not in danger, and you have people around you, and you're not afraid of the people who are closest to you. In this case, if you really don't want to burden your friends, and a lot of people put themselves in that position, they're in that shoe, so if this is familiar, you can begin to build a bridge of trust by reaching out to a therapist. And you can begin that search by talking first with a medical doctor, a nurse, or a spiritual leader, because they're likely to know of someone that you could trust. One of the main skills that a therapist has in many people's lives is the ability to hear you out without making judgments. And you can also be very direct with a therapist about whether you want them to take your inventory or not. They are trained to help you explore what's inside you. And some therapists believe it's important to tell you what they see in your behavior. But you know, if this doesn't feel safe to you, you can tell a therapist that it's not safe. And you can do that in a way that you can't tell people in your personal life who might not treat your heart as precious. Plus, if the therapist doesn't listen, you can leave them without harm to yourself and continue your search for someone you can trust. In this case, invited inventory goes one way. You ask for the professional support in understanding what's happening inside you, in exploring why you do what you do and what you think about yourself and others. You can tell that professional what you think of him or her, and if they are a good therapist, they will hear you out. But the back and forth won't be like it would be with a friend, because they are there to serve you, rather than it being the kind of mutual relationship you have with a friend. But this actually is a really good bridge between being emotionally isolated on one side and having close emotional friends on the other side. Therapy gives you a place to practice being who you are with someone who will not judge you or try to change you, but will support you in recognizing those aspects of yourself that will help you create the life you want for your future. And most therapists I've met feel this responsibility as a sacred trust, so that you can experience what it's like to not be judged. This helps you develop trust in yourself and is that bridge to forming trusting relationships outside of therapy. And when that begins to happen, you can start to create the kind of trust in your personal life that didn't exist before. It's a magical thing that the therapist part of me has been a privilege to support and witness many, many, many times. Many, many, many times. For now, it's okay to start small with a goal of building trust inside yourself, that you'll be able to find trust with another person that is so close that you can hear what they see in you and they can hear what you see in them. This can happen one step at a time. Next time, we'll explore another aspect of inventory taking, which has to do with making boundaries with yourself to support you in taking the high road when someone else's habits are a problem for you. I'm going to sign off for now and remind you that if you have a habit that's creating problems for yourself, or if someone you know has a problem habit, then come on over to habitsintohealth.com and request my free ebook. It'll give you 5 warning signs that you're stuck and some clues about how you can begin to deal with it. You can also find other podcasts, articles, and resources on the website. I always like to say, remember to start small and be kind to yourself along the way. You've been listening to Habits Into Health, and this is Michael Ann Conley. I am here to help you stop feeling out of control, wondering what you're doing wrong or what's wrong with you, and start creating some healthy possibilities for your future. Thanks so much for joining me.